Transportation will come to order 1:42 in the afternoon, 3rd of March. And we have House Bill 42, name of the Joe Williams Senior Coastal Trail. Do I have a motion to bring for the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the committee take up backslash alpha of HB 42.
All right, I had something I couldn't get away from.
Oh, very good. So let the record show we have Senator Kukesh, Senator French, Senator Huggins, Senator Cowdery are present for the meeting. And without objection, we will take up backslash alpha, Senate Bill 42. And presenting today will be Josh Govars. Okay. Okay, Josh, take it away.
Josh Govars, staff to Representative Jim Elkins, House District 1. Unfortunately, the representative had a personal issue come up, and he needed to take care of that, and so he was unable to come and testify today regarding this important piece of legislation. The Joe Williams Senior Trail, or Joe Williams Senior, was a mayor of Saxman for over 38 years. He was very active in the public affairs of Southeast Alaska, and Ketchikan, Saxman, the surrounding areas, and frankly, he was just a great Alaskan. As a boy, Joe Williams walked the traditional trail, a path between Ketchikan and Saxman in the woods. About 20 years after he walked that trail as a child, a road was constructed on the path, and the trail was kind of lost to the people of that area. A number of years later, a member of the House found funding when they decided to do some reconstruction of the road and added the trail back. Parallel with the road between Ketchikan and Saxman, and now today we are asking to rename or name that path alongside the road the Joe Williams Senior Coastal Trail. This legislation will pay tribute to Joe for his public service and his work for many years to the people of the state of Alaska, as well as honor just a little bit his sons and his grandsons for their continued support and public service in improving our community. You'll notice that in the packet there are letters of support from the city of Ketchikan, as well as the city of Saxman, and the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. Thank you very much.
Are there any outspoken?
We made it through two meetings for that.
Are there any outspoken parties that are set on punishing this deed?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, there are zero people who called our office regarding this legislation negatively. No one has called the office to say that there is a problem with renaming the trail. We've heard little gripes and grumblings around town, but these are mostly personal issues that they had with a man that's common in a beautiful small town like Ketchikan and Saxon.
And in the respect to environment, this is not new construction. This is just talking about naming an existing trail that doesn't have any baggage that goes along with it as far as crossing a local duck marsh or whatever the case may be.
Yes, sir, there is no problem with that. This is renaming a trail that has been in place for over 8-9 years.
Question by committee members?
I'd like to comment. I know you said there was some opposition. We hear that pretty much daily on bills, especially around the community, that there's two sides to it. One was one side pro and one's con, and a lot of times that I've found that it's, like you said, a personal opinion, not necessarily an opinion of the community, and that's what you was trying to say. Is that right?
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, what I was saying was is that there are always personal problems with, there are usually problems with legislation and with naming something specifically after a person, especially in a small town like Ketchikan. Somebody there doesn't like that person and will stress their opinion about it.
Do you think that their opinion then represents the community?
Negative, sir.
That's what I was
saying. That's why the letters of support, I think, were much needed in regards.
Josh, I see we have a zero physical note, but there is a qualifier on that. Could you just explain to us about physical note?
Yes, sir, Senator Huggins. In the House CNRA, the first committee of referral that this legislation was heard, there was a fiscal note from DOT regarding actually placing the sign, and it was between $1,000 and $2,000. I don't remember the exact number. And after further discussions with DOT, they decided to eat the cost because they gave it an indeterminate fiscal note, and I was trying to get it waived out of finance so that it didn't have to have a finance hearing. But there was a zero fiscal note adopted in transportation, House transportation. It's the hope of the sponsor that local funding will come from one of the supporters of Joe Williams that will come forward and pay for the signage, or hopefully a DOT will eat that $1,500 to $2,000 cost.
Is there anybody here from DOT that disputes zero fiscal note? Okay. Do we have anyone online? Is there anyone else here that would like to testify on this bill? Okay, hearing none. Committee members, further comments, questions?
I'm ready for a motion.
Okay, as is the chair.
I move that we move this naming House Bill 42 out of committee with individual recommendations of the zero attached fiscal note.
Okay, are there any objections? Okay, so moved.
Thank you very much.
Let's take a 2 minute at ease. Bill 40, Kuskokwim Port Authority. Mr. Matthew Nicolai.
Yes, this is Matthew Nicolai, President of Calista. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Matthew, we now have before us the Kuskokwim Port Authority, and understand that you want to speak to us as the Calista CEO, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, if you would put yourself on the record, Matthew, and we say thank you very much for taking your time out to testify.
Thank you. My name is Matthew Nicolai. I'm president and CEO of Calista Corporation. We want to thank the Senate Transportation Committee, Mr. Chairman, and the members for allowing us to testify in SB 40. If I may.
If you may, please continue.
Yes, thank you. The proposed SB 40 that we're hoping to move forward, envisioned in the bill will hopefully enable all of the affected stakeholders to come together and present an alternative to finance the development of two ports in our region. And there are several ways that we want to look at addressing several alternatives for financing, and these would be tax-exempt revenue bonds and also Indian financing, and these are the two areas that we want to explore and present to Placer Dome and to the state of Alaska. Any of these types of large-scale development plans, such as proposed for Donald Creek, definitely will require public or private financing for infrastructure needs. And we ask this committee to pass SB 40 so our regional leadership will plan and develop a long-term regional plan to address the port needs of our region. Many of you know that Calista is the owner of 6.5 million acres of subsurface properties, in which we have eminent domain rights to that property under Alaska statutes. Last 10 years as president of our company, I've placed heavy emphasis on exploration of minerals, and we have aggressively marketed our subsurface resource for exploration. As a result, over $65 million have been invested into subsurface property exploration by multiple mineral companies, and Placer Dome and Nova Gold have invested over $50 million into Donlin Creek. Mineral exploration and production in the Calista region for placer mining has been successful in the past, and today we have three geologists on my staff that have developed an excellent marketing program of our subsurface properties, and that's why Donlin Creek is in the worldwide map today. This project, if deemed feasible, will definitely have a major impact to Alaska's economy, especially to our people in our region. Only through infrastructure development can we continue to bring in new exploration companies into the region. There are two major issues that are obstacles that we must resolve: transportation and energy. Without resolution of these two issues, we will not see growth and opportunity in our region. Under transportation issues identified as major costs is development of a major port or ports in our region. The port in Bethel is maximized during the summer months and it cannot accommodate the needs of Donovan Creek development. We understand that Plastidome can finance a port on their own through private financing needs that they can acquire in-house. But it is in our best interest as surface owners of that 6.5 million acres that we must look past one project, and development of a port can be that vehicle that will basically spur new development, hopefully on other projects that we own. Development of a formation of port authorities definitely open opportunities for economic development in the areas they serve. And we do understand Plastidome's concern of cost of public, of a public port, but we want to present to them to make sure that an alternative that can probably, maybe we can beat other financing alternatives that we feel we can bring to the project. And to our region, there's so much unrest when, because we're the last part of Alaska that has basically no resource development in our region. This is something new for our region that Donlin Creek development is making a lot of people have some areas of questions that they want to see a project or not. So what we want to do is to build this trust between all of the participants is to develop a regional planning group under this bill and work with the stakeholders that are all present, whether they're Plastidome, Kuskokwim Corporation, the village organizations, and we want them under one group to develop a plan that will basically look at all the effects of the activities of that project, including subsistence activities of the people we serve. We wish to establish an alternative tax-exempt financing mechanism so that our stakeholders are taking part in what we consider to be the most monumental economic development project ever undertaken in our region. Ports must meet rigorous environmental regulations of state and federal governments. We know that, and we know that the Kuskokwim River Port Authority will address these issues. Port authorities in our state have taxation powers, and they do concern all of the entities, whether they're mineral companies, and they want to understand how local withholding laws do affect such projects. And those are the areas that concern Jalista Corporation to make sure that we do not overburden the residents that are living in that area or have unfair taxes to Donlin Creek. You know, how debt instruments of Donlin Creek are agreed by Plastidome for infrastructure development is also a concern to Jalista. That is why we want to address financing alternatives to the project. Why I say that is because under 797J, what we earn in Jalista, we have to share that amongst the regional corporations and 232 village corporations once that project is a reality. That's why how debt instruments of Plastidome, once if they deem Donlin Creek to be feasible, that we want to see how those debt instruments are being developed for the project, because 797J affects everybody in Alaska. Although ADA has the capacity to provide infrastructure financing, we want to provide an alternative to develop and maintain our own capability for financing within the region with all of the affected stakeholders together, not just for Donlin Creek, but for other projects that can come in the long term for our region. Basically, when all of the resources at Donlin Creek are depleted and the mining company leaves, we want to have a financing structure that will continue, hopefully, to bring in new projects that are long-lasting into the region. A port and a road are necessary on the project. One reason we seek to have the Port Authority begin in Napaquic and Bethel area is because we foresee the need for a Portland road system there to basically receive cargo and fuel for transshipment by smaller barges with low draft to go up the Kuskokwim River. There are many occasions when seagoing barges have been stuck for weeks at a time just above Napaquia. That happens a lot, and when that happens, the cargo has to be lightered into smaller barges in order to deliver it to the port of Bethel. Donovan Creek will need a transportation infrastructure that could support the movement of 150,000 tons of construction material and 110,000 tons of supplies in addition to transportation of 450 to 500 employees per year during the operation. We know that Donovan Creek will spur development of transportation infrastructure throughout the region and will in turn improve conditions for the surrounding communities and businesses. In the immediate vicinity of the mine, a docking facility and a road from the port to the Kuskokwim River to Donovan Creek is necessary to support construction and ongoing operations. By helping the financing of the development of the Portland Road and participating in the construction of these facilities, we will be able to provide jobs for our shareholders. The Portland Road system in the Napaquiac and Bethel areas and near Crooked Creek will provide many jobs for the people we serve. Benefits over the long term are immense, and costs for transportation and goods will be significantly reduced by development of a port. Due to economies of scale, sea, river, land, and transportation costs will drop. Diesel and heating fuel, transport, and gasoline will become economical, and hopefully passenger and cargo transport will also become positively affected. So this does not oppose increasing the size of the operating area of authority to go further up the river. It can also be argued that bringing the lower boundary of the Kuskokwim Bay could contribute to the effectiveness of the Port Authority in addressing logistical needs of Donovan Creek Project and the lower Kuskokwim River villages over the long term. This will only add to the greater benefit of the Port Authority, and we hope what we're proposing will lower boundary, that will lower boundary extent from Platinum to Security Cove all the way up to Lime Village in the upper Kuskokwim River area. Concerning the possible burrow formation, we see this as a long-term issue that will take some time to plan for and develop. It is a politically sensitive issue today to be considered by all of the villages in the region affected by Donovan Creek. We do want to start with the Port Authority because we see it's a quick way to bring all of the impacted stakeholders together to address the financing needs of the project and assist with its development. We want to present this as an alternative to the stakeholders. However, if it is eventually determined by the people in the region that proposed Port Authority needs to be incorporated into a borough, then a clause in the bill will facilitate that process to be appropriate. We've met with many of the leadership in our region, and I have traveled to many of those villages over the course of the last 10 years to address from time to time the Donovan Creek Project issues. When we have moved from the process of exploration, we retired shareholders from the region, taking into consideration the concerns of the local people, particularly those of Crooked Creek. They're going to be the most impacted people in this project, and they have indicated support of this bill. And we've talked with Evelyn Thomas in the village, who's the local leader there, and same with a lot of the leadership in that village. We've also had a long meeting with the people of Napaquiac. We had a public meeting, a question and answer period of a port in their properties, and also looking at the energy project on their village lands. And we've had a very good support from that community. A couple of the villages close by my village, and I think it was Akachok, sending a support letter to your committee in support of the Port Authority Bill. TKC has mentioned that we've never met. We've met with their board on numerous occasions, one occasion just recently last fall, and we want to develop a memorandum of agreement with them to address their concerns, because they are part of a major player as surface landowners And we want to include them in this effort of this bill once we hope it passes. We do not believe that the bill for custom port authority is premature. We expect that Placer Dome will complete its work to determine whether the feasibility process in the next year or so. That means we have to take our efforts to support development when the determination is made. We do not want to wait until the last minute and find out we are too late to support the project. If it passes this year, the proposed Port Authority will take some time to develop, as many political issues do not want to wait. And the people in the Mid-Kuskokwim and the Bethel region have told us not to wait, but hurry. We need you to help us. This has the potential to set us to a road to economic revitalization. The borough issue simply will take more time and work to develop, and we can't wait for it to be in place until we move forward with the development of the project. Placer Dome is the entity to determine public policy on economic development. They're not the entity, that's what I mean. We're the organization in our region that wants to develop economic development of our properties and create jobs and also to resolve energy issues in our region. We work with Placer Dome. We hope that they will continue to work with us on the needs of our people. That needs to be done in a public forum. We hope to utilize this process to organize people in our region by traveling to our villages. As this week, we have four directors traveling to three villages to basically talk about economic projects in our region. Last year, we had a total of 14 villages that our leadership from Jalisco Corporation traveled village by village to discuss these economic development projects. We at Jalisco are trying to take a global approach to the problems faced in our region, and Donlin Creek presents the most significant opportunity to address long-term issues such as welfare dependency on state and federal public assistance, joblessness in all of our villages, and general lack of economic development that's characterized our region since statehood. We want to turn that tide more basically into a prosperous and economic region that can be a positive for the state. The proposed Port Authority is one step toward that eventuality, and Mr. Chairman, we seek the passage of SB 40 into law as expeditiously as possible by the Alaska legislature. That ends my testimony, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nicolai. Please stand by for questions.
Thank you.
Committee questions. Senator Cowdery.
Thank you. Did you hear the testimony we had last week? When was it? Thursday? Or whenever our meeting was?
Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Mr. Cowdery, Senator Cowdery, I was in Washington, D.C. with Senator Stevens and Senator Murkowski on Donlin Creek issues, too, so I was not at the meeting. But the information was passed on to me by Bob Charles and several of the people that were part of the testimonies.
Yeah, we had quite a bit of testimony from people at the LIO there in Bethel, I believe. And the testimony that we had was not really positive. And I don't know if that represents the community. How many villages is affected? I was talking to Senator Kuskash once, and he said there was many, many villages in this proposed area. How many villages would you guesstimate to be involved?
The immediate impact would be one village, that's Crooked Creek. The rest of the communities on a transportation route that will be affected is about 19 villages total. That's all the way from Platinum all the way up to Lime Village.
Yes.
Those are the affected communities, and we've been traveling with the village, with our directors, to basically explain the project to them and get information directly from the people.
So, how many, or do you have any estimates? Well, first let me ask, if I could, Mr. Chairman, Do they plan on shipping out all the ore, or are they going to do some processing on site and just ship the concentrates out? Or are they going to process it all on site and just ship the gold out?
That's part of the feasibility process that's going to address all of the what you just asked. They have not made a determination which direction they will be addressing on how the gold will be processed. So we've heard multiple proposals made by Placer Dome. In fact, we visited, I visited three gold mines that they operate, so that way I'd understand all the different processes available to the project.
So, well, I know some mines, I've been a little bit associated with some mining in my 50-some years here. A lot of the mines have the processing right at the site, and all they haul out is the concentrate.
Yes.
And I know some that have gold, and they fly the gold out. I mean, even though there's a lot of gold there, so I didn't know what, we haven't talked to the Placer Dome people, but I didn't know exactly what their plans was, so I thought maybe you could help me out.
Mr. Chairman, the Senator Cowdery, in our discussions with Placer Dome, they've identified that their project financing needs, that they want to take the direction of private project financing through their own infrastructure investment needs, and we want to give them those options to look at project financing that we hope we can bring a better cost to the project on whether it's processed locally or not. So from the multiple concerns that they've addressed, that they would like to process the gold directly on the property. But definitely what happens is not so much of what happens on the site, but the port authorities that we hope to seek is for purpose of long-term, not just Donlin Creek project. Donlin Creek is just one project, Senator. We're looking at other properties. As you heard me in my first part of my testimony, I've aggressively asked our staff and our company to market our properties, and we've done well compared to other regions. Of, you know, $65 million spent on our properties is significant over a course of 70 years. And we are still aggressively pushing other properties, you know, in the region, and we hope when there's infrastructure facilities that are there, it spurs economic development, it spurs mineral companies to come in, not just one company. We'd love to see multiple companies like Fairbanks have many mineral companies arrive there, and thus, you know, there's a lot of employment in the region. We want that in our region. We have the highest unemployment rate in America, as indicated by U.S. Census Bureau. Wade Hampton is number one in unemployment. So we want to change that statistic, and this SB 40 is that vehicle, Senator.
I see. And, well, like I said, we're sitting here. We can't see you. We can't see the people who testify, and we don't know the people who testified against this last week, if that represents the real feelings of the community, and that's what we're trying to decide. And as you know, that Senator Hoffman he had a companion bill of mine, and mine hit the paper first, so he withdrew his, and I've talked also with a senator about, and he co-sponsored mine, and Senator Kukesh, we've discussed this project, and so it's confusing to us to have a few people say they're against it if that represents the whole.
No, it doesn't. You know, I want to explain a project on energy studies that our nonprofit, New Vista Light and Power, did a study for alternatives of 8 energy issues, and we have 21 resolutions, and yet the media says that there's no one organization in support of Jalisco's energy needs that the state paid for. When we asked for support from the local leadership, we go to the city councils, the IRA councils, the village corporations to look at basically all of the issues that we want to exchange and get support for projects in our region. Senate Bill 40, the issue on port authorities, we have not seeked from the villages in support of this SB 40 because we didn't think we were going to introduce this legislation this year, we asked to put this legislation through for basically to look at an alternative that we want to present to Placer Dome, and especially if our organization works on Indian financing, and those are the projects that that's hard to explain how those debt instruments work for Indian financing.
How many people in all the in this proposed from Crooked Creek or the Donnelly Creek mine to the end of the proposed? How many? What's the population? Would you say?
Bethel is 5,500, and Upper Kuskokwim from Aniak all the way to Lime Village, there's about 1,500 people from Tulipsack on all the way down to Platinum. There's another close to about, I think, 2,200 people living in the river. And we do, you heard me earlier, our directors travel to those affected villages. And in fact, I've got 4 directors traveling now to 2 communities to basically address these issues.
And what's the population of Bethel again?
It's about 5,500.
5,500. Out of the let's see, that'd be about a little over 9,000 people. That'd be,
yeah, that's,
or 10,000.
That's about right on the Kuskokwim side, so.
Yeah.
Again, there'll be intake on the Yukon side, because of basically areas that are interested in development of Donovan Creek.
And how many of that 9 or 10,000 people you think would be for, and how many would it be against this project, Senate Bill 40?
It's hard to figure out because we have not gone to the city councils or the IRA or traditional councils for support on this bill. There's, without asking, there's been some village leaders with their organizations, they've sent support letters. I don't know how many you've received from several of the village leadership that do represent their communities.
I'll maybe wait for more questions in the committee.
Other questions from committee members? Senator Kukesh?
Yeah, Matthew, I heard you testify earlier that you were trying to put together a memorandum of agreement with the Kuskokwim Village Corporation. Have you? And I thought I heard you say that you were going to do that after this bill was passed, and I thought that it would help this committee was done sooner rather than later. Are you having discussions with them at all right now?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we presented a resolution to their meeting in January to address the multiple issues that affect Donlin Creek. Their board decided not to take up the memorandum of understanding that we want to move forward on their board. Our boards and their board, we had an informal meeting in the fall time in October to address multiple issues that are important to the project, and those issues, and I quickly want to walk through them, that we felt it's important Kuskokwim Corporation be involved in this, and is one in business development that we want to address the opportunities for Donlin Creek, Second is subsistence, to make sure that it's protected. The third is sustainability. We want to make sure that the sustainability policies are addressed. Remediation, and we want to make sure that there's support for land use and remediation of Donlin Creek properties, and also energy development, road and transportation. We presented this to their board, but their board did not want to address the memorandum of agreement, and we wanted their board to address it, and they said this is not the time to address it. Because we wrote it in black and white on the Port Authority issue, both Jalista and TKC will work together to find funding for creation of the Port Authority. And we wanted our two working groups to work in unison and draft legislation. And this is in January of 20th that we asked them to pass it by their board, but their board did not go forward with the memorandum of understanding that we wanted passed by their board. Our board was ready to pass this agreement, and it basically brings them into the project where they participate in all of these issues that affect Donlin Creek.
Senator Kukesh?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you had a further discussion with them about this memo of memorandum of agreement, and if you're planning to meet with them anytime soon at all to try to finalize that.
Yeah, I email with the president of the company, Maver, and we've been in contacts between each other, telephones, and also the emails, trying to get this memorandum of agreement to be signed by both parties. I'd rather see something that would be beneficial to Kutukan Corporation, you know, because I truly believe working with our village corporations in our region, they're not the only entity affected on this project. I've talked with people in Atichuk, in Kuitluk, in Tuxuk, and I keep on going down affected by the project. People in the Pakiak, they want to see a coal-fired plant on their property. They want to see the other port on their property. Bethel doesn't have the property. They don't. A lot of the property in Bethel are owned by the allotments and also Bethel Native Corporation. So this opportunity we presented to Napakia to make sure that an issue, a project like this can be beneficial to their community. Their village sent a very positive, supportive resolution to that issue.
Mr. Nicolai, Senator Huggins, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you in a moment about the planning group that you mentioned earlier, but
yes.
before I do that, let me just characterize to you as a chair how I see this, and you tell me if I'm flawed in my thought at all. That number one, if we look at this positively, that it's a golden egg that has great benefits to the community. But in that, we face a challenge of getting people to recognize this is a golden egg, not a rotten egg. And there's benefit to be had if we can do that. Now, having said that part of it, in your area, who are the senators and the representatives involved? It's a state level.
Senator Kukesh is a senator part of our region. Senator Hoffman is also part of our region. Representative Mary Kapsner is part of our region. Representative, my high school buddy Woody Salmon is part of our region. We're split into multiple regions, and also Representative Foster is part of upper Yukon villages. So we're a multiple, not just, you know, one group, but we got multiple interests of legislatures that represent the Jalista region.
Good. Thank you. Now, in that respect, have you had an opportunity to speak to each of your political representatives that you just mentioned?
We've, We've asked our lobbyist, who is Joe Hayes, to take part in considering they pass the information on and talk with the staffers of the representatives. And he's been very informational to when we asked him to bring the opportunities before these the representatives.
Okay, so you feel confident that they at least understand, you know, what the proposal is, and understand, and further though, we all have to understand that they represent their constituents and whatever their feeling is.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let me take the next step, and it's the planning group. You mentioned that, which I, as the chair, quite frankly, think is very, very important. In that respect, when you look at the planning group, how large do you see that planning group being, and whom do you see at a minimum being involved?
The groups that are going to be definitely impacted, Placer Dome would be the organization, the Kuskokwim Corporation, AVCP, since they're concerned with the environment. They have an environmental group that facilitates environmental issues in the region. Fish and Wildlife would be part of it because they're we have the largest Fish and Wildlife refuge in America in our region. The affected communities alongside the port rivers, it's not just Kuskokwim Corporation. The impact is going to be immense on those lower villages. We hope that we'll have a representative from those multiple villages in the lower Kuskokwim River. I think majority of the population where the transportation is going to be addressed is actually going to be, the major impact is going to be people from Guigalup all the way up to Tulixac. So that's where the considerable transportation of goods are going to be impacted. So if you go from Aniak and above, those are smaller populations. Aniak is the largest community, about 700, 800 people there. Then you go up further villages, there are small villages that average 80 to 125. You go down to the lower villages, my village where I'm originally from, there's about 850 people in Guigalup. Akachok has 750, Akek has 350, Napaskiak has about 400, Napakiak has about 400, Guigalup has 400. So, you know, the economic impacts are going to be monumental on those communities. That's why we want to consider representatives of these areas that we feel that are impacted by this Port Authority bill.
Right. Very good, Nikolai. Now, in that respect, what do you see as the likelihood, and I'm just anticipating that you as the CEO of Calista will have some leadership in trying to pull this planning group together. Do we share that view?
Yes, we will. The process of sharing information is important to our company. We've done that aggressively in the villages to make sure that issues of Calista are understood by the representatives and shareholders in our region. I want to take an exception to one issue that we've been working with the state on, New Vista Light and Power, to look at energy alternatives in the region. Once we start developing the funding, and we thank the many of the legislators that are there that voted for the money, we've received over $4 million to involve local communities on energy alternatives. And we use that infrastructure project development to share information and let the people understand all of the issues on planning. As a result, you know, for the energy project, we have 21 resolutions in support of energy alternatives that we presented to them. And we're going to do the same basically explaining this to the affected villages, not just one company. There are 15 corporations that are involved. Kuskokwim Corporation is one. You know, I want to make sure the landowners at Tulaksek, in Atkiak, in Apichuk, in Kuiklook, in Bethel, in Oscarville, Naposkiak, Napopkiak, Kuiklook, Gungiganuk, Platinum, Good News Bay, Quinhock, understand the process of the risk factor involved in the port issue. So that's why it's important to, you know, we envision they will participate. You know, I don't believe in overburdening myself that we withhold information from them. That's not a political risk I want to take.
Okay, Matthew, now, having said that, the practicality of pulling that planning group together, you feel you have some degree of confidence?
I have a great degree of confidence because a lot of our directors do travel to the affected communities when we ask them to. They have a great attitude to basically pass information whether how insignificant or significant they are. They will ultimately travel on our behalf.
Good. You know, I'm from the potential new capital of Alaska, Wasilla. In that regard, you know, we probably have one of the newest ports in the state.
Yes.
And, you know, that as I look at the sequence of that, you know, it took a while for it to evolve, but we have a port, and it's growing.
Yes.
And there were some people who objected, quite frankly, it's some of the same sorts of people object to anything that's going to happen that appears to have some construction involved with it and some movement of people along avenues of approach. But having said that, now that we have the port, now people are excited because of cutting timber, moving coal,
and
exactly, and looking at the connectivity with the port, with the rail avenues and what have you. And as I look, you know, where we sit, the port would appear to have a lot less importance than where you sit based on your reliance upon the Kuskokwim River. Is that an accurate statement?
The Kuskokwim River is a major river that provides sustenance of our people, and it's the impact of a project of Donald Creek, if it is deemed feasible, will have a tremendous effect on the people that we serve, and we want them to understand how this project affects them in every day. I've testified in front of the city council, and I describe basically the process of how a project like Donlin Creek, once if it's deemed feasible, that it can affect them in multiple areas. And I brought out the issue on the need for ports, the need for energy development, the need for basically all the issues that, you know, have impacted in our region. Especially there's one issue on port issues. I want to make sure that it does not cause a negative reaction to the regional corporations. Tax policy. Ports do tax, and I want to make sure that the tax issues are going to be fair to the region, that it causes negative cash flow to the developer. I want to make sure that we be sensitive to the needs of Placer Dome, and also to basically understand the village needs too. I travel past 10 years up to 41 villages. I travel many as trying to understand the village folks, the and understanding the risks of the project. I have spent considerable hours on this project traveling village by village. I've stood before multiples of people in many hours, making sure they have the knowledge and understanding what Placer Dome is going to do in our region. It's going to have a major impact, and you know, ports do open up economic projects as you presented. You know, that's why we're seeking the passage. We hope, Mr. Chairman, that hopefully this summer, and we want to invite you, Mr. Chairman, and the sponsors of the bill, the members of the committee, to come up sometime in this month so we can present to you some of the resolutions that we're working with these villages. You know, our directors are involved with the village politics. We want to make sure that we have open door with the people that we're serving.
Nikolai, would you describe to us, from your perspective of as a CEO, if the Port Authority doesn't happen, how will the mine proceed?
Right now, Placid Dome has the knowledge and development authority that they could build the infrastructure needs of Donlin Creek at their own. Whether they make private placements, public offerings of debt instruments they have available to them, they have the capability to develop the project without any public assistance. They could move forward with this, and they could designate a port just working with the village of Crooked Creek based on their properties that they have there with the local community and put the as a private port. But if it is a private port, the infrastructure needs that we hope to see for the region will not be served, because I cannot sell that project to other mineral companies that may want to explore Jalista properties. That there is, it's something that I feel that Placid Dome, we want to present alternatives that they have the right to say yes or no. And this is a private placement or a public offering or public. This Port Authority legislation, this, you're opening the door for us to develop several alternatives that we feel is going to be important for the project. You know, Placid Dome just, you know, they really don't need any public assistance. But to us, we're the landowners. I'm thinking down 50 years from now, if there's no more gold at Donlin Creek, that I want to see a project that is established there that will definitely serve our people once we're gone. So that's why we're envisioning a public facility. And we want to look at that alternative to be placed on that site or sites.
Well, Nikolai, that last 90 seconds, as you described what the mine brings with it, if we have some sort of public authority, in this case, a port authority, certainly has vision and is supported by the chair, but we have to take the essence of what you have said and make sure that the community comes to grips with what that is, so we can once again remind people it's a golden egg, not a rotten egg.
It is a golden egg. You know, any sense of when you're bringing a project to a region, there's a lot of politics involved, and there's a lot of political issues that are being presented to projects. You know, once Placid Dome announces that if Donlin Creek is feasible, you know who's going to make a lot of money. Our environmental firms will start opposing the permitting process, and they'll make money out of the project. We know that's coming about. It's a political risk that we have to understand, and we have sensitivity to the people we serve. There's economic sensitivities to make sure that what we're doing is going to be beneficial to our region. SB 40 opens that door, and that's what we're asking, to look at this as a public financing project, whether we go 50% one way where there may be a project in Bethel, and maybe Placid Dome just wants a private port right in Crooked Creek. Crooked Creek residents support the project. When I speak with their leadership, their roles and limitations they talk about, they support the project. And the anger is pretty strong from their community why their surface property owner is not in support of this bill. I hear their anger, but I work with both. I travel to both. I want to see both entities work in the same house. Custom Corporation is going to be one of the biggest benefactors on this project. It's just that they have to come to the table, and you know, we reached out to the table when I presented their resolution for their passage last January, and that was 2 months ago. It's already 3 months. In October, we sat down and we agreed we're going to develop a memorandum of understanding. I don't go behind their backs. I don't. I want them to participate. I want the people to participate. I worked on this project from the day I became president. Nobody knew about Donlin Creek. I've taken the time to make this project to a level, hopefully it becomes a feasible project. I want to see jobs to the people I serve. It's been a long time coming that we need projects that can benefit the people I serve. And public entities like this, the SB 40 that you're considering, will be a very strong impetus that will attract new development into our region. Our people in the future need jobs. Our people need jobs, and this is just one step that opens that possibility, that releases limitations. We ask you, and that's why we ask you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that you look at this alternative financing of a major port, and we're going to involve people from our region. We ask you, that's why I'm testifying today, to make sure that this issue is going to be presented wisely and with the participation of the people that we serve.
Nicholas, I have one other question for you, then Senator Cowdery has a question for you. But before I go, I say to you, we appreciate the energy and the wisdom that you bring to the table, and we're going to call on that in the future. But as you know, there's some hurdles we have to get over in this, but more to follow on that. But would you characterize for the committee over the last 10 years, four major impact factors that have happened along this river corridor, generally within the region, that had brought great economic development to the area? Just four.
Fisheries has always sustained job creation in our region. It has the most impact. The CDQs that are presenting sustainable job creation definitely has had a major impact to the communities, the 24 communities in our region. They've got excellent resource on the fisheries issue. Last 10 years, you know, we have federal subsidies that have created jobs in our region, and mainly that's been strong in our region is the Health Corporation employs over 1,000 people. But these are federal monies coming in. I'm thinking of private money. In our region, since I became president, what I've inherited, what I want to create for the future, is resource development. In the last 10 years, and no other president in Chilista has ever done this, is reaching out to the private industry of mineral companies to bring in exploration dollars that we didn't have. When I became president, we had only $500,000 in our cash. Now we have a lot of money. We have over $14 million. And it's because of resource development that has come in and spent money in our region. $65 million spent on our properties is a lot of money. No one's done that. I've taken a lot of time going to mining development conventions and market our properties. Same with our geologists. That mining resource development is a key in our region. So those are so far the sustainable issues that are coming about in the region. Village corporations do have impact in the communities they serve, but those are limited. So this one project It will be the first project in our region that will have long-term sustainable development and job creation, and it's a challenge that we're placing on record for people to work together. And already we have a challenge called politics. And, you know, just trying to develop, we're trying to improve quality of life to the people we serve. And this SB 40 opens that. And that's why we ask this committee to move this forward, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Nicolai, stand by. Senator Cowdery?
Yes. Just for your knowledge, what's the life of the project, say, of the Donnelly Creek project? How many years of life do you think that project would...
The figures that I've seen have 20 to 30 year life.
20 to 30 years.
Yes, and you know, I look at any project that, as an example, in down in a project that I visited for Placer Dome, they said they had a 20 year life, but it's been in mining for 40 years. I've been to other projects that say they've got a 20-year life, but they've been in mining for 50 years.
I understand.
See, we hope once they start developing that project that other minerals further down will be found. Look at Red Dog Mine. They say it had a 20-year life in their feasibility study. Now they're adding on further life that's going to be down the next 50 years. Isn't that amazing?
That's
so
amazing.
You cannot just take a number and say it's going to be good for 20 years and that's it. We have other properties in that area that hopefully can sustain new development.
Well, thank you, Matthew. This certainly, I believe, will be a big asset and a help to the community once it, if and when it happens. I have noticed that Placer Dome has been silent on this issue. They haven't said for or against. Do you have any reason or any? They haven't come forward.
Last year, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cowdery, they supported Interior Rivers. They wrote a letter, Interior Rivers Port Authority, because we asked them to. Right now, they've passed information to us that this is a political issue, that they really don't need a public port. They could do everything on their own. But to me, that's just Donald Creek thinking. I'm thinking of the whole, our Jalisco properties and the state properties in that area. Remember, state has a lot of property alongside Jalisco properties. We don't know whether there's minerals on those properties. So this is the best interest to promote this property, these properties that will be beneficial to the state for job creation. So Placer Dome is just one entity. You know, I go to all of the other big mineral companies and I invite them hoping that they come to our properties. You know, Teck has been on our property as an example, as one of the larger companies. So Placer Dome is quiet. They don't want to be in a position of political dogfight that's going on. So if we present to them a public financing of a port that be lesser than the debt instruments that they acquire, they may take our alternative. We don't know that. That's an issue that they have to take on their own. That's why they've been very quiet on the issue, even though they've been pressured by the anti-developers. I want to make sure that, you know, we pass information on. I emailed the executive vice president yesterday, Bill Hayes, and explained to them the political gerrymandering that's going on the public financing. I say, I ask you all to be remain neutral or support our bill. So they have not answered my emails back that I sent to Mr. Hayes yesterday.
And one last question for me, this is Senator Cowdery. Have you heard last week's testimony, I hope, or know what was...
I've got some points that some of the residents that live in the area that they presented their concerns.
Yeah, I would hope that you would talk to Anna and Hoffman and the rest of the people who testified against this bill. I hope you would have an opportunity to, Beverly Hoffman too, and So I would just hope that you could maybe communicate with them and try to settle your difference or make them understand a little bit more about the project.
Our people in Bethel, especially Frank Charles, been passing information on to Anna Cook and same with the other residents in the region to make sure that they're getting information. A lot of times there's a reactionary method, you know, that they're participating by reacting to a bill instead of looking at the pros and cons, you know. We're going to participate those people that are involved. You know, Bethel Native Corporation has properties. They have to participate in this. That, you heard me earlier in my testimony that we want to see affected communities to be participants on this package. They're the ones that have that live in that area. I don't. I live here in Anchorage. I travel to the region often, but I want to make sure that they are part of the participating and learning and basically, you know, to me, I just want jobs, you know. We have the highest unemployment rate. I don't want to get into that. Yeah. It's just, it's very difficult to get a project rolling in our region because we've become so political, pressing our own views that sometimes it stops projects. It stopped in oil development in our region when we were about to drill, Shell Oil was about to drill, and next thing, the political gerrymandering by shareholders stopped that. That's an example. So we have to take political risks, and I want to look at basically looking at areas that how we can benefit the people we serve. Our people want jobs. That's what our people should be thinking of, how SB 40 can be a beneficial to the people we serve. Alaskans, Alaska Natives, is going to have a major impact to the region. So that's why we ask you again that we hope this committee moves forward, passage of this bill, and go forward. We're willing to go out and develop all of these regional planning group to be very positive to the people.
Well, we hope that you could contact with the people who are negative.
We will.
And turn them around.
We will. We will contact them.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Senator.
Other questions for Mr. Nicolai? Mr. Nicolai, it's Senator Huggins again. Let me just reassure you that Senate Bill 40 is not going to die today or tomorrow. I give you that insurance, number one. Number two, that we're pursuing this in the sense of it being a golden egg.
Yes.
But in the same token, we need you as part of the energizing force and familiar with the area so that as we progress, that this isn't continually portrayed as the guys from Juneau doing something to the guys on the Kuskokwim River.
I understand that.
Right. And to do that, we have got to bring some of the leadership in the organizations that represent large constituencies, yep, whomever that might be it a village or be it a town or be it a corporation. And but what we will not do, and I say that again, what we will not do is allow a few people, they're always present, to say this is a terrible thing and you can't do it because I say no. But the bottom line is we need your help and we will continue to march on this project, I guarantee you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like to invite you, Mr. Chairman, and the rest of the committee, you know, to meet firsthand with especially the impacted villages. I would love dearly for all of you to meet Evelyn Thomas and the community leaders in Crooked Creek. You know, they've got huge positive remarks that they want to move forward on, but they're not here today. So sometimes reactors are the ones that testify, and they're not the ones that actually work with the village communities. I do. You know, I head out there. I sit down with the village corporation leaders, the IRA councils. I'm in the forefront. I'm open. I have open doors with the leadership in our region. I don't close the doors with them and urge them to, you know, pass issues that do not affect them. I want them to participate. That's why I'm testifying today.
Okay, Mr. Nicolai, thank you very much for your testimony today and what you're doing on behalf of the people you represent. And we're in full support, or I am in full support, of moving ahead with the process. But there's some things we got to do to make sure we get some key players in line, and you know what that is. Thank you very much. With that, Max?
Yes, sir.
Angeline, could you give us your full name and any affiliation you might have?
Where is he from?
Hello, Max, can you hear me?
Yeah, do you hear me?
Yeah, Max, would you give us your full name, where you're speaking from, and any affiliation you might have with the organizations or businesses or that have a bearing on what you're going to say?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Max Anila, M-A-X-A-N-G-E-L-L-A-N. I'm calling from Quikut, which is near Bethel. We're like 18, 20 miles east of Bethel. I like to speak in favor of Senate Bill 40. The reason why I'm saying that, personally, I think, like what Matthew Nicolai said, Frank Charles communicated to our Kutuk Taku, sent in information regarding Senate Bill 40. I think for a letter of support in a form of a resolution. I think the Kutuk City Council, the Kutuk IRA Council, and the Kutuk Incorporated Board of Directors met on that issue. Personally, I'm looking down the road 5 to 10 years from now. I'm concerned about the high energy costs that we pay out there, maybe 3 or 4 times. We pay for electricity, gas, and oil. From my understanding, the past 2 days from Alaska Building Science Network works out that we attended, they were saying that our domestic supply, energy supply, is on a plateau, and that the demand due to population and energy use will increase, therefore I think the price of gas and oil or energy costs associated with energy, everything, I think will possibly double the price. A lot of our people in the villages have no employment, they're not being employed. Well, presently I think we're like in a financial stress zone, or our people are trying their best to pay for their energy costs, their food, services, and from my personal perspective, we may be paying the double that we're paying 5 to 10 years from now. That's why there needs to be an alternative energy source. My thinking is to hopefully have some electricity. We need to reduce our electricity cost out here in our village. My other concern is about the power cost equalization subsidy that we receive from the state. I don't know how long it will continue. All in all, my concern, personal concern, is that within 5 to 10 years, we'll be paying the double that we're currently paying in 2005. That's why I support Senate Bill 40, because it creates a alternative. Besides the part of the custom part authority, my emphasis is on the electricity portion to the consumers, the businesses that will use that resource. It'll spur economic development. I'm just following this Senate Bill 40. My interest is in economic development. I have been working for our tribe, the Organized Villages of Quislip, for the last over 15 years. It takes time for local projects to food projects to plan, to build infrastructure development. I think it will help our villages. I think that's all I have to say.
Okay, Max, stand by 1 second. Any questions?
No.
Max, thank you very much for your heartfelt testimony, and you know, whatever you can do in the area on either side of the issue to bring it along, we appreciate it very much, and we appreciate your taking the time out today to testify. Is there one or more people in the place? Come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Thor Williams from the City of Bethel. I've testified on this bill already. I just wanted to come in front of the Senate Transportation Committee and continue to offer our support in getting this bill passed any way we possibly can, and offer to the committee to come to Bethel, meet with everybody, let's move this bill forward in any possible way. One of the other issues that was brought up a little earlier that wasn't expounded upon but is part of Bethel is, as being the largest mid-draft port in Western Alaska, one of the issues that this committee should realize is that petrol, fuels, and also materials are going up and down the Kuskokwim River every month during the summer. We operate from the time the river breaks up and is ice free until it starts freezing up. So the Port Authority, in that kind of sense, is there's materials still going up and down that river, and that's part of the economics of our community there in Bethel and those type of things. So we continue to support this type of bill and trying to support the future economic development in our region because it's needed. I know there's people that have some concerns about it, but I think they need to be educated on the bill and what this bill is intact, because they've read things into the bill because it's not been outlined. So I think there's an educational process that needs to happen so they're more in tune, because some of their ideas are being put into the bill that might not be there. And that's why I think there's some of their concerns.
Representative Kapsner is from Bethel, right?
Yes.
Have you talked to her on this issue?
Yes, I've talked to her a little bit yesterday, about it and those type of things, and I will continue to have more dialogue with her on this issue.
Whom do you represent?
The City of Bethel. I'm a council member with the City of Bethel. We're down here lobbying this last few days. I've talked to Senator Calgary already and Senator Kukash, and we're trying to be maybe a facilitator on this to make things happen, to make some of these issues that have come up in front of this committee's, to continue this energy, like you're saying, the golden egg. you know, perspective and making sure everybody has a knowledge about what's this bill about.
Has the city of Bethel had this on their agenda and debated it and taken a position?
We've looked at it. Our port committee has looked at it. We've sponsored that. We have initiated our council to move forward with this, and we're looking at this as our economics of this.
But you haven't voted a resolution or any vehicle?
No, we haven't voted a resolution out. We have been tasked, or I have been tasked, to represent this issue from our council.
I think, well, I know it would be very beneficial to at least the chair that if that comes forth, one way or the other, I mean, whatever it is, so that we know where the city of Bethel sits, or at least the representation for the city.
Right.
Questions?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I'm curious, is there any commerce on the river, on the ice in the wintertime?
Yes, we still. I had a conversation with some of the representatives and senators the day before I came to Juneau to lobby the legislature. I had to bring up some laundry to my in-laws on the river in my truck. So there are trucks that go up and down the river even during the winter. We have ice that's 3 feet, 4 to 3 feet thick, and they continue to bring product up the river, petrol, home heating oil, gas, to the close villages like Queethluck and Neposkiak and Nepakiak. 3,000 gallons at a time, and they run vehicles up and down the river. It's our major highway. It's like the parks and the Glen during the wintertime.
Thank you.
Thor, in that respect, as I recall, once upon a time, Bethel got winter road funding. What was the source of that funding?
It was, as my understanding...
That's the Kuskokwim River I'm talking about.
Right,
right.
Right. It was from DOT funding. We got... I don't remember. It was a few thousand dollars a year. I don't remember the exact cost. But we went out to bid. It was like a throw-through money to our municipality. We bid it out to a contractor, and they would plow the road down to Neposkiak and plow the road all the way up to Tulixac, and sometimes it would go all the way up to Aniak. The road will go. You can travel the river that far during the wintertime if the conditions are right.
Thor, thank you very much for coming and supporting. Anyone else to testify today? We will hold Senate Bill 40 over in committee.